changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to a life-changing experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
We're going to be in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Amen? And we're going to read this in its entirety down to the 8th verse. And then we're going to move over to the 13th chapter. Y'all hear me? And we're going to move over to the 13th chapter. And we're going to do a lot of reading. Amen? This morning. It's important for my message. That this is read in its entirety. So we're going to begin at the 10th chapter. And we're going to start to read. Are you there? Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you.' He is asking, 'What shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread," say two, "and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. Number five, after that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high places with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you." Number eight says, "Go down ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings." This is important. "But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." Amen. How many days? Amen. Move over to chapter 13. Let's start at the 5th verse. "The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and in cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Galilee. But Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offerings. But just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, God, for the revelation, and I thank you for all that you have given your servant today. Lord, I thank you for this word. For God, someone will be blessed today. Someone will leave here today with questions that they have asked themselves answered. Lord, I thank you today for this word. Lord, I ask that you would continue to bless our ears, that we would be able to hear your word, and most of all, be a doer of that word. We bless your name this morning. We give you the praise for everything that has happened and will happen in this place. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray that God's people say amen. Amen. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Surely I want to talk with you this morning from the subject, out of position consequences. Out of position consequences. Amen. What happens when we get out of position? What happens when we are not in the position that the Lord has put us in? There's a position that we can walk in that will open the kingdom's best for us. If we walk in a certain position, we can have everything that we could ever imagine. But tell somebody, you got to be in the right position. Position is everything. If you even look in your home and you put something somewhere, you know where you positioned it. But if someone comes and removes it, and when you go back to find it, what you were going to do can't happen because it's what? Out of position. And so position means everything in our daily lives. It means being favored by God. And when you're favored by God, you're in a place where hell can't touch you. Somebody should have screamed right there. When you are favored by God, everything that the enemy would do to you, he can't touch you. You know that you should have been found out with the stuff you was doing. But God covered you until you were able to get it together. You know you should not have gotten that promotion. You know that you should not have gotten it. You were not the next one in line. But because of the favor of God, you ended up in that seat. Hallelujah. Don't you know that favor is not the natural? It is not the norm. I thank God for his favor. But when we get out of the position for God to favor us, we get in big trouble. Let me share something with you this morning that might burst your bubble. Being saved does not mean that you're going to walk perfect in all the areas. You better hear me this morning. Somebody might tell you that once you get saved, that all is well. I come to tell you this morning, you may not be able to walk in wisdom like you think you're going to once you get saved. We may not always walk in complete healing once you get saved. But we must be in a position to be a doer of the word. Don't you understand that the hearers of the word are getting it? But look at the doers. The doers are the ones that's getting the favor. You better hear me this morning. If God has been blessing us in a half position, what do you think he would do if we got in full position of obedience? I tell you what will happen. The heavens will open up to us. It is when we are disobedient in love, disobedient in loyalty, disobedience in kindness, disobedience in sowing seeds, missing church, not tithing, and unfaithfulness is when we start missing out on what the Lord has for us. And you wanted to know, why am I not receiving all that he has for me? You wanted to know, all of the things that I'm doing, why am I not getting the full benefits that God has for me? Well, it's very simple. Because you are out of position. When you get in position, God honors that. You cannot get favor when you don't love your brother. You can't get favor when you are not sowing seeds. And I'm not always talking about money. I'm talking about sowing a seed when you go to visit somebody in the hospital. I'm talking sowing a seed when you just call somebody on the phone that's been missing from church. Amen. And so if you're not doing these things, it is very possible that you will miss out on some blessings. But God, he really wants to pour blessings out on all of us. He really wants us to keep things moving. He really wants us to receive everything that he has for us. Some of us start out in the right position, but we end up moving away from the mark. There's a prime example in this scripture that we just read in 1 Samuel, starting at the verse 10, is King Saul. Here Saul is appointed king of Israel. But the thing about Saul is he wasn't appointed just king. He was the first God-appointed king. All the other kings of Israel had been man-appointed. But Saul was appointed by God. Ah, that's why when Samuel poured the oil over his head, he was giving him blessings from the Lord. But Saul was known for his personal courage. The Bible describes him as good looking and tall, easy on the eye, and with a lot of generosity he was. One writer says that Saul had all the attributes to be a king. But how many of you know many might look like a title, but you can't stand up to the character? So many folk would tell you, you know, you look like a preacher. You ever heard somebody tell somebody, you look like a preacher? But don't you know that look doesn't mean anything? You've got to have some character behind what you look like. Amen? So here, Saul is got some good attributes going on here. But Saul is getting ready to not stand in the position that he's been put in. Saul's leadership abilities didn't match the expectations created by his appearance. Many of us don't match up to what we look like. Many folk walk in dressed up in your civic attire. But what you did on yesterday or last week does not match up to what you're wearing. Do you all hear me? Many are wearing the bishop's collar and the bishop's seal, but their life is not matching up to the seal that they got. You better hear me this morning. When you have been chosen by God, your character will stand up to what God expects of you. Why is that? Because you don't want to disappoint God. It's not about disappointing the pastor. It's not about disappointing other people. It's not about disappointing the media. It's about not disappointing God. And every single time we get ready to step out of position, there ought to be something like that collar around your neck that will choke you and pull you back. You ought to know why you're wearing the collar. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. You're not supposed to feel good with it around your neck. That's why you keep seeing folk twirling it around. And every time you touch it, you ought to say, uh-oh. I know why it's there. Hallelujah. But Saul had an impulsive nature. He did things on impulse. He didn't think it through. He would just do it because Saul was really full of himself. Saul knew he had all of those attributes going for him. And the people loved what they saw in Saul. But that's what messed the people up about Jesus. He didn't look like the Messiah. He didn't look like a king. And so because he didn't have the looks, they didn't treat him as such. But don't you know, it's not always in the one with the look. It could be the one sitting in the back that don't say anything. It's the one that don't look like they got anything to say. It's that one that God will choose to do his work. So as we continue to read about this king, we find out that he has a jealous spirit. He was jealous of his son's best friend David. And in chapter 10, verse 6, Samuel gives Saul directions. Don't you know directions are important? As somebody, can you follow them? The first thing he does, as we read this morning, he informs him that he should go down to Gilgal and follow the instructions he gave him prior to getting there. Those instructions that we read, the people that he would meet, what they would give him, what he was supposed to do with the things that they offered him. But one other thing he knew, that Saul was going to need some power to complete this task. So he informed him to get ready, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him in power. In what? In power. And he would change him into a different person. Don't you ever wonder how somebody said they got the power of God on them and they ain't changed? He said to him, the power of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you are going to change entirely. That means that everything that you used to think or do is going to change. And that's what we ought to see after the power of the Lord comes upon us. We should have a different mindset because we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. So Saul is in the right position so far. Tell somebody, so far. He encounters the people as he's told. He follows the instructions. And he goes down to Gilgal, where he is to wait for Samuel 7 days. And he is told by Samuel, do not do anything until I get there. Yeah. That's the problem for some of us. We just can't wait. We got to move on ahead. And so as we moved over to chapter 13, where things are about to take a turn, tell somebody about to take a turn. Yes, Saul did some great things, but he also did some pretty shaky things as well. The first thing he does is he steals the credit from his own son, Jonathan. Jonathan was the one who attacked and conquered the Philistines. Jonathan was the hero, but his own daddy, Saul, he took the position of a liar. He took the position of a thief and took the credit for what Jonathan did. And what did he do? He took the credit and sounded the trumpet in his own honor. Tell somebody, selfish. How many of you know somebody like this? Someone else does the work, but they take the credit. God knows. If they get the credit and they didn't work for it, tell somebody soon they're going to lose it. Because God knows you don't deserve it. And the real truth will come out. The one who did the work, everybody will know that they are the ones that was keeping it together. Hallelujah. You don't have to tell nobody. Hallelujah. God will let them know. And so here Saul is now at Gilead. And he is obedient for a while. Tell somebody for a while. He's waiting and he's listening to what Samuel commanded him to do. But there was a lot going on. First of all, the Philistines were getting restless, and his army was afraid. The Bible describes them as they were quaking in fear. And that means they were shaking in their boots because they were afraid that the Philistines were going to come down on them. But here he was waiting for Samuel to get there. He's still waiting. But here he's letting fear get the best of him. The troops are scared. Some of them are leaving. But not only were the troops scared, so was the leader. If the leader is scared, what do you think the troops are going to be? Don't you not know that if I'm scared, you won't know I'm scared. If I'm worried about the rent, you won't know I'm worried about the rent. If I'm worried about the lights being turned off, you won't know that I'm worried about it. Tell somebody, I'll just go to God in prayer. You ain't no sense in everybody getting scared. I'm the leader. You don't need to be anxious. Word of God said, be anxious for nothing. And so when I get anxious, I go into the trustee room and I give it to the administrator. She's the one that's going to catch it. She and I are going to talk about it. We got to come up with a strategy. Amen. So his soul is scared himself because he's afraid that the Philistines had not come. The Bible says that some of the men even left him. So he gets nervous and remember the instructions from Samuel. Stay there until I come. And don't do nothing until I get there. But here is where he gets out of position. Tell somebody again. He takes matters into his own hand. Anybody ever done that? He ain't coming fast enough. This is not working out the way he said it was going to work out. So I'm going to take him in my own hands. So here he does. He allows fear to get the best of him. So he gives orders to bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering. And he takes them and he offers them up to God himself. How many of you know because of his disobedience, it wasn't accepted? How many of you know that he had been told by the man of God, and God was working through the man of God, said, wait till I get there. I don't care what it looks like, just wait till I get there. That's why when God blesses you, you got to wait on some stuff. I know you think you're ready to go out and preach, but God said, wait a minute, wait. I know that you've already wrote your sermon, but you need to wait. Don't you jump out there, they'll kill you out there. Something you just got to get through experience, and the devil will make you think you're ready, but don't you know you better wait? You better wait. Don't you jump ahead of what God says. And if you're ready, your leader will know it. When it's time for you to go, I'll know it. I'll be the one to tell you that it's time for you to go. The enemy will mess with your head. He'll make you think that you got more going on than you do. But all you need to do is stay there in front of the Lord. Stay there and pray. Work in the... If you can't make Bible study, how are you going to go out and preach? If you can't come out for... You can't come out for Sunday school. How are you going to go out and teach somebody else to come to Sunday school? If you can't stay under the anointing and keep your body pure, how are you going to tell somebody else? Tell somebody, wait. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, I thank you. Glory to God. The Bible says that as soon as he made the sacrifice, he said, Samuel came. And when Samuel came, he asked him a question. That's a familiar question. He asked him, what have you done? What did you do? We heard that question somewhere else over in Genesis, didn't we? When Adam and Eve messed up and the Lord found him, he said, what have you done? It was not a question that he didn't have an answer to. It was a question of rebuke. What have you done? You have messed up everything now. Everything that God had for you. Everything that God had for the country. Because of your disobedience. What have you done? You ought to ask somebody near you, what have you done? Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety, or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready to renew your mind?